All right, let's go ahead and seek the Lord that we would just hear a fresh word. Yes, God, we just humble our hearts to you tonight, God. We yield our affections, God, that they would be towards you alone, God, that we ask for forgiveness for, man, making it about anything else, God. It's all about you, Lord. God, that you cause all things to bring us back to you, God. They could be beautiful gifts, God. It could be wonders. It could be even hardship and trials, God. But you're so good to us, Lord, and you're continuing to draw us near, and you're calling our name, God. God, so we submit tonight our own agenda, our own time schedule, our own things that we might have for the future, God, that we're not promised tomorrow, God. So, God, fill our hearts with your words, Lord. May it produce in our actions a life that is worthy, God, just to be called your sons and your daughters, Lord. We need you so desperately, Father. Teach us through your word, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. I was asked to preach today on just some of the stuff that the Lord's been teaching me through, and I've been kind of going through the word. I've been in Exodus, but it's interesting enough that the Lord brought to my attention James 1, where it talks about read the word and do what it says. Like, if I had to preach anything, that's what I would preach, and y'all could go home and get in the word and start taking notes, crying out to the Lord and just being transparent and just needing him, you know. Sometimes it's good. It's good to get out of a routine or get out of the things that we normally do. You know, well, 7 o'clock, I always do this. You know, I always watch this TV show. Like, no. But I felt like the Lord obviously wants to expound. I mean, that's why he's given us the word. You know, he wants us to have that relationship with him. But I want us to turn to Joshua 23. You can turn there or listen or... After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them. I want to give you a backstory, so if you don't know the story of Joshua real fast. Joshua was with Moses and Aaron when they were coming out of Egypt, and it's pretty crazy to look at the very last plague and look at the Passover. And interesting enough that the Lord was preparing their hearts already. Like, he was giving them warnings after warnings, and even plagues on those that wouldn't be obedient to God. Pharaoh wouldn't let the people go. And it was interesting because I don't know if any of you have ever seen, like, the movies of Moses and stuff. They make him look like a superhero, and he really wasn't. He was, like, just a foolish, normal kind of guy like me. You know, and he couldn't even speak in front of Pharaoh. He's like, dude, Aaron's got that gift. You skip me out on that. I need help. And even in the first half of the plagues, it wasn't even Moses. It was Aaron. He was laying the staff down. And so what a interesting enough that when it came to Passover, the Lord was preparing them. And he said, I want you to put the blood on the whole section is about Christ and about that your household is firmly established in Christ, and talking about the lamb and the 1 year old lamb and slaughtering that at twilight and covering the doorpost with the blood, and that you would be ready. They had their sandals and they had their cloaks on and everything. They're ready to go. They're ready to leave. They didn't really think so, you know. So many times, all the plagues that went by, and they're like, oh, there you go again. He's not going to let us go. See, he told you. And how many people are kind of like that? Some people can kind of go to that side. I'm like way too optimistic. I'm like, I'm not a pessimist. I'm like extreme optimistic. I would be like, oh no, man, you're going to be great after that deadly accident. You're coming back, you know? And like, dude, he's like dead. Anyways, side note. But interesting enough is that that the Lord was preparing them to leave, and I thought that's so cool because there's so many fears. You know, we live in a time and a day and age that living for Christ with all your heart is like weird. Like that's not whoa, and that's what God's called us to do: to read His Word, do what it says, and I wanted to. Interesting enough that Joshua was with them during the entire time, even when they came out and Moses had the Ten Commandments and came down and they built the golden calf and Moses basically said, hey, those of you who will, actually I'm going to turn to it because it says, those of you who want to serve the Lord, come over here, come on this side. And so there, it's pretty crazy what happens. I'm going to read it to you. Moses saw that the people, this is in Exodus 32:25. Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control and so become a laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and said, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And the Levites rallied to him. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap a sword to his side. Go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor. The Levites did as Moses commanded, and that day about 3,000 of the people died. Then Moses said, you have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day. God is saying, man, you have to love me more than your family, your career, your comforts, the different things. And it's crazy enough that he even said that on the Sabbath day, if you don't recognize it, you are to be killed. Like, imagine if that was put out on the, you know, and Barack Obama signed that in executive order. Whoop. You know, that the Lord doesn't mess around with sin, because what he's saying is like, this is so important that your time with me is so important. This one day, I'm setting it apart. You need to know that this it will lead to a spiritual death. And I believe that the Lord was saying that he was making it so severe is because he was saying that that's what's happening inside. Spiritually, we are dead when we're not communing with our Savior. Every Sunday when we come together, Wednesdays we come together, it's that constant reminder of intimacy with him, of running to him. And it's crazy because you know, the fruits of the Spirit, my daughter listens to the Fruits of the Spirit song, and it's pretty funny. The kids' version, and I felt like the Lord was just in that simple song. The Lord was sharing with me that you can't have love without me, like true love. You can't have it. Faithfulness, just the whole thing: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, and the things that man truly desires is what? Unfailing love. So. I felt like the Lord was saying to me, like, man, why are you trying to look, or why are you trying to step out into the world when the whole time I have that here together with me? And that's what they were lacking, is that intimacy and that trust. Because it all comes down to is, am I going to trust what God says, or am I going to trust in my own feelings, my own emotions, or am I going to trust in that instead? And that is a constant challenge for all of us. But I want to make it so clear that God makes it so He makes it so clear that he's saying you're going to be put to death. Like, there is no other, there's no way around it. God is serious about time with him, about intimacy with him. So I wanted to back up to Exodus and kind of give you that backstory of there's so much that was already happening. There's so many warning signs. There's so many that obstacles, and God's saying, people, you need to be obedient to me no matter what. The Sabbath day, you need to make it a part of your life and a part of your heart. So I want to skip back into Joshua 23 and 24, because now Joshua is older now, and it's cool because the promised land, you know, when they came out of Egypt, there was just so stubborn. You know, we can be stubborn with the Lord, you know, and kind of be like, no, Lord, I'm gonna do what I want. And he's like, okay, go wander in the desert for 40 years. Have fun. And man, it sucks. It stinks, I should say. A life without Christ, you know, a life without being obedient, submitted to him. It's like we've all experienced that, you know. We get frustrated, or we're like, man, I'm having a bad day. And you're like, man, I just need Jesus time, you know. I'm honest with people. I'm like, man, I just need the Lord right now. You know, and that needs to be our constant, like, source. If our source is not Christ, if our source is not his word, if our source isn't intimacy with him and depending on him and just life with him, then it's like, man, unfortunately, the Lord is saying, man, it's like death to me. It even says in Exodus that he says that he will blot their names out of the book of life, which is crazy to think about, because you could have the rich intimacy with Christ and love the Lord, you know, and yet live a life that is completely not submitted to him. You could have, I'm not saying seasons of hardship, I'm saying, like, man, your heart is now turned over. I mean, if it's just, that's heavy, man. It's just an encouragement to me to run after him with all our heart. Joshua 23, after a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am old and well advanced in years. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations. For your sake, it was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes and all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the great sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. And you know, right before this was Jericho too, you know, being obedient to the Lord in that, and seeing their enemies defeated, and they've been through so much, you know. And I feel like, you know, the people here, as we walk with the Lord, we've been through so much. And God is saying, like, man, I see every step of faith. And I'm saying, right on, keep going. You know, I'm seeing every, just trusting in me. Keep running after me, son, daughter. Keep going until your last breath. Let's do this. And it's like, and then I love this part too. I mean, Joshua, it's awesome that he's talking to the whole nation. You know, he's gathering up. You know, I'm thinking about doing this with my family, and just like, man, I'll tell you what it is here later, but it says, be very strong, be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. He's saying, good job. You have held on. But keep going. Keep seeking him. Keep running away from just the garbage and the worldliness and the fleshliness and the, just keep seeking after me. And then he gives a warning. Oh, right before that. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he has promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Isn't that amazing that he fights for us? What? Like, we're so used to fighting for ourselves, and it's terrible, right? You're like, man, I feel like I'm fighting uphill. Like, man. And the Lord's like, when you're on my page, I'm fighting for you. You're like, oh, Lord, seriously. Get me on your page, please, because my page is terrible. My page is leading us, like, down that way, which is no good. But, and he gives a warning, but if you turn away and ally yourself with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. You know, it's crazy because we know what we can, like, what we can handle and what we, like, the Lord puts it in our minds and our hearts, like, dude, you went too far, bro. Like, some of our boundaries are different, like, in temptation or sin. Like, someone's boundary might be, like, way over there. And you're like, oh, man, my boundary's, like, here. I'm better. But it's like God is saying, like, man, that we just need to trust in him in that, you know. And then I wanted to skip over to the end on the next chapter. And it's a blessing because he says in 24:13, it says, so I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, because they trusted in the Lord. Like, that's crazy. Like, did they come up with an amazing marketing scheme and, like, their business is, like, amazing now? No, they trusted in the Lord. What? What do you mean? And it's just, you know, it's kind of, it's like this foreign thing. It's like to submit our lives to the Lord and to trust him every step of the way. And I think that's, for me, that was so powerful. And it's jot down to 13, to 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. So he's saying, you've been through all these hardships. You've been through these highs and these lows with me. You've trusted me, and you've seen people that haven't trusted me, and they've fallen away. They've been spiritually killed, but in an instance, physically killed. And he's saying, don't let your name be ruined by sin. He says, fear me. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. That's crazy, right? Like, the Lord has to mature that in our hearts. He has to continue to soften that in our hearts. Like, wow, Lord, how do I serve you with all faithfulness? Like, just continually submitted, and he's gonna continue it and kind of give us a little bit more, but throw away the gods of your forefathers, worship beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it for us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations throughout which we traveled. And he skips down and says, we too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. Man, how many times do we see that, you know, with people that It's hard, man. It's hard to live really for Christ with all your heart. It's a struggle. There's a lot of bad examples, you know? It's hard to find that encouragement from those brothers, you know? But that's why he's given us this body, which is a blessing. But he will not forgive your rebellion and your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods. He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. I kind of wore this like shirt, the American flag, and for, you know, almost 300 years, God has been so good to our nation. He's been so good to us. And this the same thing is what he's saying to us, you know. And he said, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, and 2 Timothy talks about they'll be lovers of themselves. So they made an idol of themselves. They didn't make a golden statue. And God said, kill all those who worship that golden statue. That golden statue is us now. That people are so wrapped up into themselves. I mean, you see it on, even when we're driving, it's crazy. I mean, I think we're getting some snowbirds now, so traffic's like crazy. And it just goes to show that we need Christ, man. We need him more and more. And our nation needs him so desperately. And this is what's cool, is Joshua is saying this to the whole nation, and what we need to speak over our own families and in our own hearts. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. And later they even said that he puts up this large stone that as a witness and as a testimony. So that's so... I just wanted to bring that... word of encouragement to you guys, to yield our hearts to the Lord, you know, that there's so much traffic going on. I'm not saying physical traffic, yes, but meaning spiritually. And I get distracted by it too. And I feel like the Lord is saying, like, we are in such a time that he is preparing us, just like in Exodus, that the plagues came and warnings after warnings after warnings. Turn to me, turn to me, turn to me. Now, kill the lamb, put the blood on the doorpost, be protected from the last plague that's coming. He says, basically, surround yourself with Christ. Surround yourself with him, because there's nothing else that's going to prepare us for what's coming. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, I could probably store up the most water that I can think of, and the Lord is just like, without me, nothing's going to last. Nothing's going to help. I mean, we just need to yield our hearts and our lives to the Lord, because he's saying, that's where the love comes from. That's where the faithfulness comes from. That's where the peace comes from. That's where the joy comes from. That's where the faithfulness comes from. And I'll be honest, I need all of that, you know? So let us put that stone, you know, the prayer that the Lord would, you just ask the Lord, what does that mean? How do I put that in my family and say, no, we're going to serve the Lord. And that the phrase is so often used, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But I love the verses before that, you know. It says in 14, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Imagine putting that up on your doorpost. Man, that's going to be like you walking in the front door of a bad day at work and you seeing that thing. You're like, whoa, okay. Nope, not about me anymore. You know, we've been trying to put more and more scripture around our house, because it's like Surround yourself with Christ. Surround yourself with Christ. Surround yourself with Christ. And I think that's where we are as a body of Christ around the world, that especially in America, the Lord is like, dude, that's the only way to survive is to surround yourself with me. I'm talking spiritually, physically, emotionally. And there's just so much out there that we could be deceived by and lied to. And it's like, we can be passionate about so many things, you know, so many things that might be good things, like, you know, passionate about abortion, or I'm passionate about this or that. But, you know, we need to be passionate about reading His word and doing what it says. And the Lord's going to help us. You know, we cry out to Him when we're honest. And lastly, I just wanted to share with you too that story of Peter when Jesus was the fourth watch of the night. So it was in between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. And it's so crazy, because that's where we're at, you know. It's the darkest, you know, and spiritually, really, truly. You look at when we were first founded, the Bible was the number one textbook in schools. Like that, you had to have the Bible. Like, how awesome is that? Like, what? Dude, I'd be so excited to go to school. You're like, dude, we're going to get in the Word. Let's do this. You know, now we got, you know, they threw that out. Like, oh, we don't need this Bible. And it's crazy. We are living in the darkest time spiritually. That's why it's so important. So when Christ came out on the fourth watch, man, they're tired, you know. Even when Christ was crucified, they kept falling asleep. They're falling asleep, and He kept waking them up. And it's the same thing now, you know, that even when Peter stepped out on the boat and he started looking at the winds, that he started to sink because he was focusing on that. A lot of times we think of that, like, I think of this a lot as like the worries of the world. But I think too, like, man, that we're focusing on just stuff that doesn't glorify the Lord. Whatever it is, it could be anything. But instead of trusting in Him, instead of seeking Him, instead of planting that flag of we will serve the Lord with all faithfulness on the doorposts of our houses, and putting it on the doorposts and saying, no, this is where we are. This is where we stand. We're not moving. We're drawing the line. We're not crossing it. And I think that that's exactly where Christ is implementing his word in our hearts, and especially when He's talking about Peter coming out and him falling, and He's saying, "Why did you doubt?" It's almost like saying, like, "Oh man, Lord, am I gonna get that bill paid? Am I gonna get this? Why if you're with me, why do you doubt? Okay, well, what?" And it's like, so, oh man, the Lord is so good, you know, He's so faithful to help us. And sometimes we can be like those, like, sheep that are just like, ooh, you know. And the Lord wants to bolster up our faith and bolster up our trust in Him and our dependency on Him. And like in Exodus, all those hard times, the 40 years in the desert, He was basically pushing on their hearts, saying, yield your heart to me, yield your desires to me, yield the things of your life to me. And it's amazing that He's preparing them for just greater works in Him, just greater intimacy with Him, greater love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. And it's like, man, I'm gonna plant my flag on that, you know. And it's like, I feel like the Lord's saying, dude, I want you to make that choice today, no matter how bad it gets or how good it gets. Because it says even when they were promised the promised land, they're there. They're like, man, we're here. You know, praise God, all these victories. And the Lord is saying that our work is not done, you know, until we see him face to face. But I just wanted to bring that up about Jesus and Peter walking on water, because, man, I do have weak faith sometimes, you know. So I do doubt. And we're at a time right now, at the fourth watch of the night, that there are no gray areas. The Lord is like, dude, serve me the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Don't work on that day, in a sense of time with him, you know. Just intimacy with him. Loving on him and asking him, Lord, what about this? Is this something, is this your will? And just bringing everything under his feet, you know, and a result of that, it doesn't matter how bad it gets, in a sense of, like, you know, the worldly stuff, because we have him, you know. And plus he says, fear me. But amen. I'll pray too, just that the Lord would seep that message, you know, in our hearts. Yes, Lord, we just give you praise, Lord, that we even have an opportunity to speak your name, Lord. I pray that we would make a decision tonight to serve you with all faithfulness, Lord. God, that we would not go to the left or to the right. God, we wouldn't consider anything else, God. There would be no other options, God, that we'd be fully invested into you, God. Emotionally, physically, everything, God. Our whole lives, Lord. We bet it all, Lord. We're all in, God, for your kingdom, Lord. God, I know that you are preparing your people. You are calling us to plant the flag, Lord, on our homes for the name of Jesus Christ. God, you're calling us to step out in faith and to trust you in every season, good season, bad season, hard season, great season, whatever it may be, God. You're challenging us. You're pressing into our hearts to yield to you, God. God, because only that place, Lord, is there you. Heaven is amazing because you were there, and that's it, God. God, we submit, we yield our hearts to you. We praise your name. Speak to us still through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. We good? Okay. Does it sound like it's on? Oh, okay, it's on now. Well, thank you, bro. Bless you, man. So tonight we're going to partake in communion together, since we weren't able to last Wednesday. And we'll be in Psalm 32. Hercules. Just want to pray for us before we get started. Lord, we just come before you and thank you so much for your love. As we just come before you tonight and in a night of remembrance, God, of what you've done, Lord. Just thank you. Thank you so much that we can be forgiven. Lord, that you allowed your blood to be shed upon a cross, and what hope there is, what peace there is, what joy there is in you, Lord, and knowing that the weight of our sin has been forgiven, Lord. We just love you so much. So thankful, God, that you've called us out of darkness and into your light, that That in you we have redemption, we have the forgiveness of sin. Just pray you'd minister to our hearts afresh through your word. And I pray as we take communion together and worship together later that you would really present yourself with us, Lord, individually, God. I pray that we'd feel the joy of your Holy Spirit afresh. God, that you just bring fresh encouragement and healing to our hearts tonight, Lord. We need you desperately, God. We're a frail and broken people, Lord. We are limping around spiritually, all of us in some way. And just pray that as you promised, Lord, times of refreshing would come, that they would come tonight. And just trust you to be able to do that because you're so good to us and merciful, Lord. We just love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Psalm 32. It's a classic. It's a well-known psalm. It and Psalm 51 go together. And there is just so much, like looking, because we know, some of us know Psalm 32 very well, but looking at it afresh, there's just so much hope, there's so much promise, and there's just so much joy in the Word of God. Just the power of these words that the Lord shares to us through this psalm is amazing. And I love it because we all can relate to some way in David. And for those of you who don't know, this psalm was written after Nathan, the prophet, had confronted him. David, a man of war, great king in Israel, had many mighty victories in the name of the Lord. But he began to slip a little bit, that slow fade. And he's supposed to be on the battlefield in the springtime. It's known that that's the time that kings go out to war. And he's in a place of rest, complacency. And he leaves the door open for sin. Bathsheba begins to bathe naked where she can be seen. And he's enticed, and so sexual immorality creeps into his life. And then what we all have the tendency to do, David caves to, we all have the tendency to want to cover up sin at first. That's our sinful instinct at first. We want to cover it up, grab some fig leaves, cover up that nakedness. And so he actually allows Uriah to be killed out in battle, which Uriah, we don't have much on him, but what we do have, we know that he was a man of God, a mighty man of God. Uriah is actually, just on a personal note, one of my favorite guys in the Old Testament, just because of where his heart was at when David has him come back, if you remember. Comes back and he's hoping that Uriah would sleep with his wife and then he'd be cleared. You know, it's Uriah's kid, obviously. You know, it's not mine. But that Uriah's heart is so sold out for what God's called him to that he's not even willing to do that. He says, how can I do that when my brothers are on the fight, they're on the field? And it makes me think of Luke 14 where it talks about that if you don't hate first mother, father, wife, children, yes, even your own life, then you cannot be my disciple. And we all know from other gospel passages that it's talking about not a literal hatred, but a devotion to Christ that far outweighs any earthly relationship that we have. And that's why I love Uriah, just because in that little snippet of what you see for him, he got what Jesus talked about in Luke 14 when the multitudes were following him. Uriah was a real follower. And so David allows him to be murdered because of this sin. And I can relate. Let's just, yeah, we'll get into it. We'll break into it a little bit. Verse 1, he says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute or hold in account iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Man, to be like that, to have no deceit at all within your spirit, that man is blessed. Like, I desire to be that. Like, no deceit at all. There's no shadows. There's no nothing. There's no looking to please someone or look right in someone. There's no deceit. There's no deceit in a man's heart. That man is blessed. And those two verses really highlight the entirety of what David will talk about here in the Psalms. But just the weight of that, man. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. You know, because we can, like, get past that, can we not? Because what I think David has had happen in his life is he's fallen in love with the Savior all over again. He's been delivered afresh. He's heard the songs of deliverance over his life. And he says, "Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven." Oh, how wonderful the cross, right? How wonderful is Jesus Christ. And we can lose sight of that on a day-to-day basis. Just the simple fact that a debt that we could never pay, we could never pay, it doesn't matter how long we worked, doesn't matter how much good stuff we did, we could never do it. And the Lord says, by faith in Jesus Christ, that you are forgiven, that your sin is covered, that you don't have any account for your iniquity. That man is blessed. Are we not, like, blessed? You know what I mean? We're blessed. I'm forgiven. All of my sin, I'm forgiven. All of my sin, the weight of sin is no longer on my shoulders. Like, blessed is the man whose transgressions is forgiven. And David is in that place of fresh worship, fresh adoration, fresh love for the Lord, man, for Jesus Christ, for the weight of the cross, for the impact that it has on his life, for the fact that he can commit adultery, have someone murdered, and God say, "You're forgiven." And God say, "You're forgiven." Oh, how deep is the love of the Savior. See, that's the greatest thing in Christianity. That is the greatest thing. It's not prophesying. It's not preaching. It's not that. It's forgiveness. It's reconciliation with God. Man, we're free. You know what? We are freed. We are freed from the penalty, the power, the consequences of sin. We're free. And David knows that afresh in his life. And he's just in worship. And now he begins to reflect on what his life's been like the last year, 6 months. Who knows how much time has transpired before Nathan comes and confronts him. But he says in verse 3, he says, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality, my life, was turned into the drought of summer." And then that pause, Selah. You see, David begins to remember, when I was silent, in essence, when I wasn't real with the Lord, when I tried to hide, tried to run past, you know, in my prayer life, tried not to think about that area, it was sucking the life out of him. It was death spiritually to him, as Drew talked about earlier. And he says, man, as I remember the cross afresh, right? As I remember the love of God afresh, when I was silent, when I was unrepentant, when I wasn't walking in intimacy with the Lord, it sucked the life out of me. And man, I can relate to that. Can you not relate to that? Like, because we have this idea of who we should be as Christians. And my goodness, I can't believe I did this. And not only do I not want you to know about it, but I don't want to really just come straight out clean with the Lord. You know what I mean? You've been there? Have you felt like all the life's out of you? So he's just remembering, man, committed adultery, had Uriah killed, tried to keep going, and there was no life there. And then the beautiful part, he says in verse 5, he says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Amazing love. It's an amazing love that the Savior has for us through Christ. That if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And as David says, I said I will confess my transgressions. You forgave me for the iniquity of my sin. See, tonight the Lord is ready to forgive. He sits there with a hand stretched out. With a heart. That's what's been shared with me afresh, is his heart, because it seems like the longer you walk with the Lord, the more grateful you are for His mercy. You know what I mean? Like, the Lord just being merciful is enough. I remember when I first got saved, it was like, man, like, there's new life here, you know? And Lord would show Himself to me through a McDonald's drive-thru or whatever. You know what I mean? Just like, simple stuff, like, blew my mind. Blew my mind away. Like, the Lord was real. And then as you grow older, I think the Lord desires you to dig a little deeper and seek a little harder. You know, so the McDonald's drive-thru experience may not be there, because he wants you to come closer. Come closer. But as you come closer and come closer, you're just like Paul, where you're like, man, I'm just the chief of sinners. But you're so merciful, it's ridiculous. It's amazing, it's awesome, I love it. God's merciful, I need that. He's merciful, it's so great. And He's that for you tonight. If you are the dry bones, or I'm sorry, the old bones. And that heaviness is upon you because of something you know that's not in your life. Know this, the Lord is ready to forgive, and He's merciful. And if you come in fresh repentance, God works that in your heart, He'll forgive you. His word promises that. And sweet fellowship again with the Savior will begin. So He says in verse 6, for this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. David's just beginning to remember, like, man, all who the Lord is to him. and how much and how often the Lord has been there for him and delivered him and been his comfort, been his wonderful counselor, and been that forgiveness afresh. And he says, for that reason, everyone shall call upon you when you're near. And then the Lord begins to speak to him, and it's just such a blessing. The Lord says, he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. So David, in this place of fresh repentance, fresh fellowship with the Lord, Lord says, I'll show you the way to go. Not only that, but I'll guide you with my eye. And that to me right there is amazing. Because scripture says the eyes of the Lord are upon the who? They're on the righteous. And it's a righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that alone, my faith in Jesus Christ, your faith in Jesus Christ, you can leave here tonight and know that the eye of the Lord is on you. And that's awesome, because we have a lot of kids in our fellowship. So I started to think about families, you know, and fathers with their kids, and how your eye can be on your children. And sometimes it's protection, you know, you want to protect them. And the Lord is that. He's our protection. But too, isn't it sometimes, fathers, mothers, isn't it just a delight? Like your eyes on your child just because you delight in them? And it made me think of actually Aaron in D.C. when he had Zeke with him at the airport. And this was a story you shared with me. I think it was in Orlando when you were flying out of Orlando. And he said, that did it for me. But what happened was Zeke was in Orlando Airport. Was it Orlando, bro? Okay, maybe at Reagan. Yeah, maybe they were waiting for us to get there. But Zeke's sitting next to this lady. And Zeke's a young, you know, he's our young guy over there. Hands the lady a tract and just says, do you love Jesus? Or something like that, right? And Aaron, his remark to that was that, man, that did it for me. You know, because you're a father that loves your child, and so you have great delight. And praise God for that delight so you don't go crazy, but... right? Because sometimes when you try to protect, they ain't hearing it. Especially when they get older, you know. I know I was that way anyway. I was 16 and had the world figured out. You weren't telling me anything, right? So praise God for the delight. But what that speaks to me about is the Lord's heart. You know, his eye is the eye of compassion. It's an eye that's filled with love. And go to Psalm 103 real quick. And for time's sake, we'll just skip down to verse 11. So much promise in the cross, man. There is so much promise in the cross. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Man, praise God for that. Praise God for his mercy being so great. And 13, as a father, and really it's as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And he knows our frame. I love that. The Lord knows my frame. And he remembers I'm just dust. That's awesome. That's the heart of your Father tonight. He knows your weakness, and that's a good thing, because his power is made perfect in that. And so he's reminding David who he is to him. And he tells David, verse 9, don't be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. And I read that, the fact of the bit and the bridle at the end of verse 9, that you have to put it in the horse or the mule, or else they will not come near you. And a part of me felt convicted, and another part like heartbroken, and then also really encouraged, because it shows me how much the Lord desires intimacy. Convicted because what he's saying here is, don't be the one that pain, discipline, hardship has to be the thing to which you'll walk near with me. And it's convicting, because isn't it like, that seems like when we may seek the Lord the hardest? It's when it's a time of trial, a time of pain. And then it's heartbreaking because you see like the Lord is just there. Like imagine owning a horse and having no bridle in it, and the thing won't even come near you unless you actually hurt it. And it's encouraging, it's because the Lord desires that intimacy so deeply with us. That's what he wants most out of David. He just wants intimacy. In verse 10, he says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Speaks of genuineness. Speaks of real relationship, not perfection. But there is no deceit within my spirit between me and the Lord or my brothers for that regard. So as we come before the Lord's table together, Josh, if you want to come up, just to bring it back up to the top of the psalm, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. And we know from Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. We have so much hope in Christ, so much encouragement in Christ tonight through his word. And it would not be possible, it would not be given to us if it was not for the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed there. And so two things that were really on my heart. The first one is that you're in the place where David was. And who knows how long it's gone on. But you know what I'm talking about. Spiritually speaking, your bones are old. You're dried up like the drought of summer. And the beautiful thing is that the Lord is so ready to forgive. I can't explain that to you enough because I have a minute understanding of how much God loves you, but He's ready to forgive you. And just as David was brought to in this psalm, bring you to a place of fresh worship and fresh fellowship with the Lord. And the second thing is, you're living a life of repentance, the second person, if you will. And tonight, my desire is just to worship the Lord. For His forgiveness, you know. It's so great. You know, it's so good, like we're forgiven. So just come to a place of adoration and worship with the Lord tonight. Just meditate on that afresh. Just, man, Your forgiveness, Lord, is so great. Just freedom in the Holy Spirit is so wonderful. So Josh is going to play a song for us. And the elements are over there. Just make your way over there. Grab some bread. And after one song that he plays, we'll share in the communion together. But he says, in the end of the psalm, he says, shout to the Lord, all you who are upright in heart. Remember what the Lord has done. These communion nights should be a night of just adoration and worship for the work of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. We are a blessed people. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that we would shout to the Lord. God, You've done so much for us. We can never repay You, Lord. But we bring You, Lord, our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole soul tonight, Lord, before You in worship, God, because of what You've done, Lord. We remember Your great work on the cross, Lord, and we remember all of Your benefits that flow from us from there, Lord. You're so worthy to be praised, God. Touch down upon our hearts, Lord, in this time of worship. Renew us, God, by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.